Welcome to this edition of PowerPoint with Jack Graham. A little later in the program, we'll tell you how you can get a copy of the Roman Scripture Journal. But first, here's the message, Living in Victory.
Take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Romans chapter 6. Wouldn't you like to live a liberated life, free from the power of sin, emancipated from evil, living victoriously, triumphantly? Wouldn't you like to live a life like that? The passage that is in front of us is one that was transforming to me as a young Christian. When I was just a teenager, I was introduced to what I'm going to be sharing with you today, how to live triumphantly, how to live victoriously. As a teenager, I wanted to know how I could keep going in this and get stronger in this as a Christian. So there came a time and a place in my life where I nailed a stake down and said, this is my D-Day, and I'm going to live in liberty, and I'm going to live in victory. We've been talking about justification over these past weeks. This is our salvation. Our justification means that we are acquitted. There is no more sin in the eyes of a holy God. He has chosen by his amazing grace, the gift of his grace, to give us eternal life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus our Lord. And we have received this gift, and with it, justification and peace with God. We have made peace with God. And this justification not only means that we are acquitted from all of our sin, but there's more. We are accredited with his righteousness, the righteousness of Jesus Christ. This great exchange takes place. And now, having received Christ as resident, a permanent resident in our lives, he is now reigning in us and ruling in our hearts. And this process is another big theological term that most of you probably know, is sanctification. There's justification, the act in which I am declared right in the sight of a holy God. And then comes this process, this lifelong pursuit of holiness and godliness, which is called sanctification. The word sanctify means to be separate or to be made holy. And we are called to live holy lives, godly lives, and discover what a transformed life is as it becomes a triumphant life. Now, there are three words in the passage. I want to alert you to them right now because we're going to highlight them and build our message on this. I already know this is going to be two parts, because there are three words here that if you will understand them, if you will get a grip on this grace that is ours, it will unleash the power of God and the victory of Jesus in your life. So we're going to start at verse 1 of chapter 6. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Immersed is the word, into his death. We were buried, therefore, with him in baptism, or by baptism unto death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone be in Christ, key word in the New Testament, especially in the language of Paul, in Christ. We are unified with Christ. We are in Christ. Your identity is Christ and Christ alone. Christ in you and you in Christ. This vital, victorious union. Are you with me? Verse 5. For if we have been united with him in death like his, We shall certainly be united with him in the resurrection, like him. If I were to ask you, how many people died at Mount Calvary 2,000 years ago? How many were on those crosses? You would say, probably three, Christ and the two thieves. Well, physically that's true. But how many died at the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ? All who have put their faith and trust in him. Millions and millions of people were at Calvary because of what Christ has done for us and set free by the power of the empty tomb. Verse 6, we know, circle the word know, that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing. You might just put in your margin there, put out of business. The body of sin, the result, the impact, the destructive power of sin in our lives because of the cross has been destroyed. He's destroyed the power of sin and death and hell. So there is now, you know, the old life, we've gone out of business. We're under new management. Christ is alive in us. We have died with Christ. We are alive in Christ. Sin put out of business so that it might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. Now we're liberated. Now we are emancipated. For one who has died has been set free from sin. That is, we are no longer living in the domain of death. We are no longer living in Christ under the power and the dominion of sin and Satan. Now, verse 8, we have died with Christ. We believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, here it is again, that word, we know that in Christ being raised from the dead, we will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. This is why, once for all, this is why you can never lose your salvation. Because what Christ has done for us is for all and forever who put their trust in him. Amen. It's impossible to be unsaved or to lose what God has given us in Christ. Because it happened once for all. We studied Hebrews a while back, and that's a common phrase we see in the letter to the Hebrews. In that what Christ has done, he has done fully and forever. Once and for all. He lives to God. Verse 11, so you must also consider yourselves, circle that word consider. It might show up as the word count in your Bible. If you have an old King James, it will even show up as reckon. You must also reckon yourselves. I mean, that just proves that Paul was a Texan. Because we say around here things like, well, are you going to lunch? Well, I reckon I will. I reckon. Sounds like maybe, though, doesn't it? I reckon. Might be true. Could be true. I reckon. But as we're going to see in just a moment, the word reckon means to consider. It means to count. It means to calculate, appropriate. Consider yourself, count yourselves, reckon yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Jesus Christ. Verse 12. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal bodies to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as weapons or instruments of unrighteousness, but present, there's the third word, present, yourselves to God, those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments of righteousness. not instruments of unrighteousness and ungodliness, but present your life, your body, your everything as a weapon in the hand of God. There's no greater thing than a Christian who is a powerful weapon in the hand of God, an instrument of righteousness. Verse 14, bottom line, for sin will have no dominion over you since you're not under the law. You're under grace. We are in the grip of grace. So there you have three words. Three words that will change your life. Here you have the Christian's emancipation proclamation. That we are set free by the power of Christ. And therefore, we know and we consider, we count, we reckon, and we yield our lives to Him. And if you do those three things, let's say, let the word know means realization. Let the word count or consider or reckon describe consideration. And let the word yield or present be our presentation, because realization plus appropriation plus preparation equals emancipation, or rather presentation equals emancipation. This is when you learn to live in liberty. This is how you are set free. We're going to have an opportunity to take the first one this morning, what we're going to call realization, which is to know. The word know shows up several times in the text, verse 3, verse 6, verse 9. We know these things. This is truth, not what we feel, but what we know.
You're listening to PowerPoint with Jack Graham, and today's message, Living in Victory. God is moving through PowerPoint, and your support to finish the year strong by June 30th means reaching more people with the hope of the gospel in the months ahead. That's why we're excited to tell you about a generous matching grant, which doubles your gift to help anchor more people in God's Word and the good news of Jesus Christ. As thanks for your support, we'll send you a copy of the Roman Scripture Journal. So call now to have your gift doubled and request your journal at 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. Or text Romans to 59789.
And don't forget to visit jackgraham.org, where you can shop our e-store, give a gift online, or sign up for Dr. Graham's free daily email devotional. Our website again is jackgraham.org. Now let's get back to today's message, Living in Victory.
Sometimes we hear words like that can be misleading, like when you receive Christ, you don't receive Christ in your head, you receive Him in your heart. And yes, the Bible says we're to believe in our hearts. But that doesn't exclude your brain and your mind. A lot of people hear language like that when they come to church. Just believe in Jesus in your heart. And they say, well, there goes those Christians, just riding their emotions. What does it mean to believe in your heart? Well, we are to believe in your heart. But before you can believe in your heart, you must believe in your head. Intellectually, there are things you need to know. There's truth you need to know, and this truth comes from God's Word. So we need to think. Let my people think. And that's what he's saying here. Here is what we know, because learning comes before living. Doctrine or teaching, truth, comes also before duty and obedience. You shall know the truth shall set you free. So we believe very strongly that we live the Christian life through the Word of God, by the Spirit of God. Thy Word, O Lord, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Don't be living in the darkness as a Christian, but living in the light of Christ. You know, this passage really is all about how I can stop sinning. How I can stop doing the same old things that I've been doing. How can I, as a Christian, live victoriously over my past, over my present struggles? It starts with this realization, to know it. If the devil can keep you ignorant of these things, he can keep you impotent to the power of God in your life. This is why on several occasions the apostle says in other passages, I would not have you to be ignorant. You need to know these things, because we don't live in Christ by what we feel, we live by what we know to be true. So he says, I know. And what do we know? We know this, and this is what I learned as a teenager that has never left me, that I have died. The old life, the old me, doesn't live here anymore. Jesus Christ lives here now. He is alive, alive, alive in me. His deity inhabits by his Spirit my humanity. I am alive. I am dead to sin. Not that I am, or anyone is not influenced by sin or tempted to sin, or that we do not sin. But we no longer live under the power of this sin. We live in the power of Christ. It is this realization. We are no longer slaves. We are dead. We are dead men walking in Christ. You will be a slave of something or someone. You will either be a slave to sin and its power, or you will be a bondslave, a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you will be a slave. What Christ has done is to break every chain. The power of Jesus. And therefore, we no longer live like we used to live. The apostle raises an obvious question. It's rhetorical, but it's real. In the first two verses here, he says, okay, he's been talking about grace and the grace of God and how God's grace has freely given us all of this forgiveness, past, present, and future. So someone might raise a hand and say, oh, then should we just keep on sinning? Verse 1, chapter 6, should we just keep on doing what we've been doing? Since it's all forgiven, let's go. And I'll just keep living, because he's already said in chapter 5, if where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. So wouldn't I just go ahead and keep sinning so that the grace of God could keep abounding? Charles Spurgeon, the great British preacher, once preached a message on this. He called it, Grace Abounding Where Sin Abounds. That's a great title. And that being the case, what should I do? Should I just live my life free of restraint? There's a word, antinomianism. Antinomianism. It means against the moral law. Against the law. In particular, the moral laws. To break the boundaries. And there is a brand of Christianity today that is a kind of hyper-grace experience which says, because of grace, we are free to live as we please. Is that the question here? Yes, it is the question. And that is a faulty idea. Because Paul says in verse 2, in the strongest possible negative that he could use, no, never, may it never be. Phillips translates it, that's a ghastly way to think. Because the grace of God produces godly living in our lives. How could we truly be righteous and not live right in the power of Christ? We are transformed to be triumphant. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Titus chapter 2. I want to show you this verse and then we're going to wrap it up today. But Titus chapter 2 and verses 11 and 12. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people. To do what? Training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. So the grace of God has come to us. We have received this grace by trusting Christ as our Savior and as our Lord. And this we know, that what Christ has done for us is to liberate us from the power and the dominion and the mastery and the slavery of sin and self and ego and evil and all the rest. Liberated living. That's what happened to me as a young man, as a teenager. I realized first that this was for me. Yes, you are a child of God. Christ lives in you. The power of His Spirit is within you, so that you're no longer the devil's little plaything. You're no longer the devil's dope. You belong to Jesus. And because of this, everything has changed. Your life is new. And not only that is that true in the past, but it's true every day going forward. As this process begins to kick in your life, as you're being made more and more and more and more like Jesus. It's like somebody said, I'm not what I want to be. Thank God I'm not what I used to be. But praise God, I'm not what I was. Old things are passed away, and everything has become new.
You're listening to PowerPoint with Jack Graham, and today's message, Living in Victory. Our world is confused about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Self-proclaimed social media scholars are giving their opinions about the way to God. However, many of those opinions fall short of the truth. The book of Romans outlines the gospel of Jesus and gives us a clear representation of what it means to be a Christian. To help you explore one of the most powerful books of the Bible, we'll send you the Roman Scripture Journal when you give a gift to PowerPoint. And thanks to a generous matching grant, your gift today is worth double to help proclaim the good news till the whole world hears. So call now to have your gift doubled and request your copy of the journal at 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. Or text Romans to 59789.
And don't forget to visit jackgraham.org, where you can shop our e-store, give a gift online, or sign up for Dr. Graham's free daily email devotional. Our website again is jackgraham.org. Pastor, what is your PowerPoint for today?
Once again, I believe one of the reasons the Bible is so powerful is because it is the book of liberty. It promises liberty in Christ. In John 8:32, Jesus said, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Jesus frees us indeed when we put our trust in Him. But until we give over our lives completely, we'll not experience this freedom fully. There are certain principles that we must understand when breaking free from worldly addictions. Romans 6:16 gives us one powerful answer, saying, "Do you not know that to whom you present yourself slaves to obey, you are that one slave whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? Therefore, we should not be slaves of sin, but we should be slaves of Jesus Christ. And when we follow Christ, then we are free." When we claim our freedom and then we act upon it, the Bible says, "Reckon yourself," that is, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Jesus Christ. And you know, when you die to your sin, when you realize that you're no longer just a helpless victim, constantly under the control of evil, then you will be a victor in the Lord. So how do you do this? Well, it begins by understanding the impact of obedience. Whatever you obey, you serve. If you are obedient to sin, then you're going to become a slave of sin. But if you obey truth, if you live in His righteousness, then you will serve righteousness. Are you desperate enough to break free from the sin, the habits, the addictions, by yielding your life to live and to give and to serve Jesus Christ? Then make that decision right now. "I will no longer serve sin. I will no longer live in defeat, my life destroyed by the power of evil." I encourage you to plant seeds of righteousness in your life and then water these daily through prayer and the study of God's Word. Be active in your church and get to know Christian brothers and sisters who can encourage you along the way. Cultivate godly living in your life. Discover a new power to break free from the old life and live victoriously in the new life through obedience to Jesus Christ.
And that is today's PowerPoint. Remember, when you give a gift to PowerPoint, we'll send you the Roman Scripture Journal as our thanks. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word Romans to 59789. Join us again next time when Dr. Graham brings a message about how you can declare triumph in the struggles of your life. That's next time on PowerPoint with Jack Graham.
PowerPoint with Jack Graham is sponsored by PowerPoint Ministries.